10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Everything you drank tonight could make you sick. First, Dr. Dave's weather.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Something you ate tonight could make you sick, but first, the negotiation between the dock workers and the feds that kept the docks open at least till January. Hello? Yes, hello?
Get all your responsibilities? What the f*** am I supposed to think about that?
Under the circumstances, it was the wisest thing to do. For everybody. Was I wrong?
I'm not gonna lie to you. Some of our friends are not very happy. There's a certain sense of betrayal. But I talked to them. Calmed them down. Things are going to be okay.
They are?
But there's some lost revenue you're going to have to make up. And maybe be wise to relocate for a while. One thing's for certain. You reestablish relations with your wife. Have another kid. Show people you know where to put your d***. When time heals the wounds, I'll bring you back.
Where's Phil on this?
I took some work, but Phil appreciates the situation. Look, I went on a limb for you here. Don't make me look like a d***. Are you there?
I'll think about it.
Vito.
He's so dead. Something you drank tonight could make you sick. But Aubrey Plaza's the funniest person I know.
Sorry, was your name Jennifer?
No, it's Tinnifer, with two Y's. I used to be Jennifer, but then I decided to rebrand myself. Oh, wait, hang on. It's now 9 o'clock.
Well, nice to meet you. My name's April, and I just wanted to say that your dress is so cute. It's bonks.
I saw my spinning instructor wearing it, and I was like, shut up, where do I get that?
Oh my god, who's your spinning instructor, Gregory or Winona?
I go to Giannis. Who are Gregory and Winona? I've never heard of them before. Are they better?
Winona rocks my world.
Seriously, you need to get me in there. Like, that's a must, must, must.
She's the worst person I've ever met. I want to travel the world with her.
You see how I am when the plane lands? I don't get up immediately. I don't rush. You see, I wait my turn. I'm very cutesy. I don't do too much. I don't do an applause when we land. I close my window. I'm very mindful. Not mindful. Me? Very demure. Very cutesy.
Very cutesy and demure. Something you drank today could make you sick.
You see how I take a picture to send my mom to let her know I'm okay on vacation? Very cutesy, very demure. I do a nice fresh wig. I do a refresh on my toner. I do a nice fresh face of makeup. I don't wear too much, just a little mascara and a little chapstick. I wear something very subtle, very high cut. I don't show a lot. I do a nice warm lighting in the back, a nice cool lighting in the front. I'm very demure and very cute with it. Very cognizant and mindful of why I'm sending my mother the picture. You see the smile? I don't do fashion show. It's your mother, ladies. Let's send cutesy pictures to our mothers. You know, not everything has to be chi-chis out, cho-cho out, tota out. You know, it could be very cute. It could be very demure, very mindful. Let's remember to be demure, ladies.
And are you married?
There's a huge new update for all girlfriends next week. This has major implications for anyone who has a girlfriend. We are now able to confirm the existence of a long-suspected force, seemingly only present in girlfriends, called dark hunger. Dark hunger causes strong negative feelings that are distinctly different from hanger. Basically, it just feels like the end. That's it. It's all over. She's hungry, and she's not going to make it. Like hunger, it is a measurable force, perhaps on something like a 1 to 10 scale. A regular 7 hunger rating, for example, is just like, yeah, I could eat. But a dark 7 means that there's so little time left. The end is near. and there's nothing that can be done. Common causes of dark hunger include being horizontal, being asked what she wants to eat, and general frustration over having to deal with this whole eating thing every day, forever. The feelings caused by this force can be completely stopped by eating something. That's it. It's really easy.
It's a live radio show, coast to coast, Sterling every damn night, Sterling on Sunday, and this is our subordinate theme.
We're guys.
We keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man, in case he comes to town.
What?
So he won't take me down to his lair deep under the mountain.
What are you talking about?
Underground, that's where he keeps his dirt.
Does it cause he must, collecting gravel and dust from beneath our pillows, knowing it's well protected and plush. And if you don't come ready with something sedimentary, dirt man's gonna take it down deep underground. You're probably gonna be here for a while.
Oh no.
Stacking dirt into a little pile.
Oh no.
Dirt man's definitely smiling at you.
Please stop smiling at me.
If you don't wanna toil with the soil, then avoid it. Don't take this for granted, that'll make your man annoyed. Only thing you gotta do is this routine. Every single night before you go to sleep.
Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man, in case he comes to town.
What?
Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man, so he won't take me down to his lair.
Something you drank today could make you incredibly sick. Details in seconds, plus the single dumbest college student in American history. All of that and you. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you tales of living in our old house with our eight kids. It's Halloween season. I used to love Halloween. But these days, really not a fan.
Do you think this stems from the year that you broke your tooth on a Necco wafer?
No, I just have grown tired of the whole idea of, hey, let's put a skinless demon in our front yard and light it up and let it drip blood for the whole neighborhood to see.
And you know I hate that. I hate that as well. I don't like the scary things. I don't like people thinking that it's hilarious to scare kids. I even hate it at Christmas when people try to dress up like the Grinch and scare kids. I just think that's stupid. There's no reason to do that. But what we have going on is, you know, these, quote, spooky season things and cute little ghosties with bows in their hair that are things that aren't scary, that the kids like, and they want to participate and trick-or-treat things, and, you know, they want to give out candy to other kids and see the kids. They don't like the spooky either, but it's hard to find an in-between that we can all do.
We had a Halloween parade that went in our neighborhood, and it was great. Fire trucks, people dressed up, lots of fun, marching bands, but then there's a few entries that were like ghouls or killers or something, and they're getting in the kid's face.
Right. So they're not just participating in the parade, but we had a couple of times where we actually had to get verbal with these people in masks running up to the cutest little tiniest girl on our curb
right.
and getting in her face and trying to scare her. That I hate. And I don't know
Me too.
How to separate the doing anything with hating that.
We could try my method of complete boycott. No?
You can't really do that when the parade's going down your street and your daughter is the grand marshal of the parade. This parade is a long-standing tradition in our town. It's actually not called the Halloween parade. It's called the community parade. And people are going to do what they will with it, just like they'll do what they will on your street with trick-or-treat. You can't really change what they're doing, and we're not participating in that part of it, but where's the line?
I just can't wait for November 1st.
But until then, you can just keep yelling, "Hey kids, get off my lawn!"
Yeah. Follow this old man on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for his not-so-uptight wife, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom. Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Punching a cop, then grabbing his package. Bad idea. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night. Blue-vested heroes are not babysitters. Details later. People of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Hi. I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of one NYPD member whose cousin asked him to dispose of a carpet that contained a body. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Iron Man.
If your priority was actually the well-being...
No, my priority is to get the Iron Man weapon turned over to the people of the United States of America.
Well, you can forget it. I am Iron Man. The suit and I are one.
All right, good evening, Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm here six nights a week if you're smart enough to have the Odyssey app. It's called Sterling Every Damn Night. Why? Because the need for a show that isn't about politics is so overwhelming that they said, we have to do this six nights a week. Plus, they said, are you still going to do the Sunday show? And I said, yes, because I'm an idiot. Good evening. This is a live radio show. There's nothing else live at this time. You think the annuity show is live? Do you think Delilah is live? Do you think the oldies and you show, the annuity or the gun show? Do you think the gun show that they're running on KXNT is live? No, no, it's not. Do you think it's free? No, no, no. Do you think somebody's paying for that time? It could be. It's hard to say. It's hard to say, ladies and gentlemen. But right now, if you have children between the ages of 1 and 14, they are going through the challenge. And I'm not even going to say metaphysical challenge. They're going through the challenge of how to be discreet and polite about the fact that 60% of the candies they've started to receive at holiday events, pumpkin patches, school things, are not candy that they want. What is the candy that you want, little Johnny, little Alex? What is the candy that you want? You want Reese's peanut butter cups. You'll take Reese's shaped like a pumpkin. You want Reese's. You want the little packs of M&Ms. Maybe you don't like the peanuts, but I do. I like the peanut M&Ms. Never liked the almond M&Ms. Never knew why they went there. I also like the peanut butter M&Ms. Yeah, the peanut butter. Oh, yes, something you ate tonight might make you sick, but I'll get to that. And what else don't you want? What else do you want? You want anything that says Hershey's, anything that says Reese's, right? The M&M stuff, you want that. And maybe you have an exotic sweet tooth. Maybe there's one other thing you want. But what don't you want? You don't want lollipops. You're well past that. You've grown past the lollipops. You're not going to wait for the Tootsie Roll. You're going to smash it. Hopefully you're not stupid enough to bang it in your teeth. But you're going to smash the Tootsie Roll pop. And what else don't you want? Chiclets. And the Taste the Rainbow things. I don't want those. I don't want any of those. I don't want the sweet tarts. Do you? You don't want that. But the one you absolutely don't want, the one that we can all agree on as friends, as American children, we don't want the dots. D-O-T-S in the white box. We don't want dots. That's what you eat last. When you go through your Halloween bag, when you get to the end of the bag and there's nothing else, there's still the dots. Honestly, it's been so long since I've tasted them, I don't even remember what they look like, much less what they taste like. But I'm sure there's candy that you like less than dots. I'd like to know what that is. Why? Because it's a live radio show. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That's my phone number. I am live. I'm excited to speak to you. And because we hit the hard subjects here, we hit the subjects of matter, I want to know if there's candy that I have forgotten that you don't want to eat. I believe at the bottom of the pile, Mary Janes. When you hit a certain age, you don't want the Mary Janes. Because you have dental work. You just got your braces off. You have fillings. Worse, you have temporary fillings. Definitely don't want the Mary Janes. And they don't even taste any good, to me, in my opinion. They don't even taste any good. But that's some of our challenges. The other challenges are, now I posted on Facebook today, Walter Sterling, S-T-E-R, Peter Bolger, S-T-E-R, L-I-N-G. If you go there, you will see my magnificent 12-year-old carving a pumpkin and giving me a speech. Really, it's worth it just to see her giving me a speech on her thoughts about being videoed. She has different thoughts. S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. That's on Facebook. And you can see my magnificent 12-year-old, the carving work that she does. And let me know what you think. But that's the situation. We don't like dots, and we don't like Mary Janes. And I'm sure there's some others that I forgot. What are they? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Oh, and there's something you drank today? There's something you drank today that could make you sick. I'll tell you what that is coming up in just seconds. And in fact, in about 6 minutes. Yeah, coming up. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling every damn night, inspired by nice men.
You would have no illusion of being able to be a strong, independent woman and have all these choices and do
but
what you want.
But why do men do all of that?
They do it because they're benevolent and they are good. Isn't that crazy? They're actually really nice.
But they're getting something out of you.
If men were as bad and misogynistic as you think, they would put us in cages and we'd be, you know, baby farms.
You're a bit of a baby farm. Haven't you popped out 5 children?
Yeah,
I'm a baby farm.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your time to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Boom, boom, hearted hood.
All right, live from the West Coast, from Los Angeles, from Hollywood, a victim of Kendall Aviva, forced to do whatever she tells him to do. There's Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
What a lovely place to be, and I thank you very much, Walter. And, of course, Aviva is, well, you understand that she has very convincing ways, and so one happily does what she asks. And with
true,
pleasure.
True of all dominatrixes.
Yes, quite so. What can you do? You're helpless but to obey. But to obey.
But to obey.
We've got a movie that I'd like to talk about that is not the kind of thing I'd normally mention on this program because it's a documentary.
It's not kind of
a mainstream movie, but it does cover... Don't recoil in horror.
Sorry.
Don't recoil in horror. This is a story of a really lovely guy, Christopher Reeve. It's his life story. As a matter of fact, Warner Brothers and DC Studios, this is their first combined documentary in DC Studios history, and they decided to make it about Christopher Reeve, who was a nice guy who had a very horrible accident that changed his life, and then he became a very positive spokesman to investigate further spinal cord injury and disabilities, and became for many a real-life hero rather than the Superman that he played in four movies, each progressively worse as movies, but still wonderful portrayals of Superman, and at the time, it was a huge hit, and even the second one was not that bad. So this documentary talks to his friends and his kids and points out, which I thought was really fascinating, Walter, a wonderful friendship he had with Robin Williams. The both had gone to school together, and they stayed together as friends for many years. And so when he was sick, Robin Williams really came across for the family, and it was a beautiful story. And so I thought this was a very touching, marvelous telling of this real man's life. And, you know, unlike a rag-to-riches story, this guy, Christopher Reeve, came from a wealthy family and had every opportunity and had great looks. And had we had those blessings, we would probably be in movies instead of radio. But he did. He worked them well, and he really touched people. So the documentary is great. It's called Superman, the Christopher Reeve Story.
Was it maudlin or uplifting?
No, I think it was uplifting. It was sad, of course. And I was fascinated to find out that he did have some controversy when he's trying to help the disabled and people with spinal injuries, because many of them complained that he, you know, had all the money to pay for these treatments that many people did not. And so there was a lot of kickback there that I wasn't aware of, or at least I didn't remember when it was happening at the time. And so it showed a very moderate, even discussion of the man and his career and his family. And his wife, Dana, passed away just almost a few months after him. So that family's had a lot of tragedy. And it's not unlike any family that encounters tragedy. But it's nice to see that one person with such a disability really tried his best to do things for other people. And I find that touching, because it's nice to find that there are humans that want to help each other out. And it was not maudlin. It was entertaining and informative.
Was his son in it?
Yes, both of them.
His oldest son experienced the death of his father, the death of his mother, and he was the best-looking kid who ever lived. This kid had some life. For losing both of your parents, the end of his life, the rest of his life could not be better. Every beautiful woman in the world would want to take care of that kid. I have nothing but respect for the horror of losing both of your parents and losing them publicly. But, oh gosh, gee, he looks like that, and he's Christopher Reeve's kid. No problems. There'll be no technical fouls in his life. Do you have any gossip from Hollywood for us, Boom Boom?
I sure do. You know, Steve Martin posted a picture on X, formerly Twitter, with Martin Short and Meryl Streep and he put an X over his own face, and we're all sort of baffled trying to figure out what the heck he's up to. Of course, the fans have gone nuts thinking that there must be some romantic possibility between Martin Short and Meryl Streep, but we can't believe that that's 100% real. And after all, fans, the word is short for fanatic, may I remind you all. And so I think it's just people taking off with something, because I think he's just poking the internet that for fun, because Steve is a very clever and brilliant comedian. And, of course, they're all in this show together, Only Murders in the Building, I believe it's called, and it's a popular show, and so these people are together often, and Martin, that is to say, Martin Short and Meryl Streep, of course, are a love interest in the show, and so when people see them out in real life and they see Steve Martin's thing, they're just inventing stuff in the public, and Steve just having fun with it. But it was an interesting photo to post in the gossip mill today.
It never wins Emmys. And there's a reason it never wins Emmys, and it's one of those things that you're just not allowed to say out loud. It has the best cast of any television show in the history of man. The best cast. and a really C-minus script. The premise is clever, and the actors cannot be any better. There are no better actors. But it's not that funny. And the murders are not exactly clever. It's just we sit and we get to watch the greatest actors of our time every week. That's what it is. You sit there and go, these are the greatest actors of my time. Going on and on with a C-minus script. It's hard to ignore. And they don't win Emmys because of those scripts.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Maybe they need to find a different writer. Of course, they've been having trouble with writers in Hollywood this last year. And so that might be at the core of the problem.
They're so impatient and petty, those writers. Unbelievable.
They want to eat, apparently. They don't have dark hunger, apparently.
Now, Matthias, thanks to Facebook, I've become aware of a strange hobby that you have. And You like re-chroming microphones, ancient microphones, and you like re-screening ancient microphones. And I find that fascinating. When did you pick up this unfortunate hobby?
Well, it was necessity is the hobby. I was going to send out some of my beautiful old ribbon microphones from the early days of broadcasting to some professional people to have them rebuilt after I had a fire in 2017 when my studio was trashed. And these microphones, made in the USA, of course, so they're solid metal. They're great. They did not get totally destroyed, but they didn't look cosmetically very good after that. And so they were going to charge me a fortune to do this, so I just decided to slowly do it over time as money and time has allowed me to, and I've been posting pictures there on my Facebook page showing my progress. You know, I can't improve on the great design of those old mics, and so I just, in a way, to pay tribute to those great days of radio, and I do use those microphones. It's probably why you've seen me do that. And it's interesting enough. It's not an everyday occurrence that people have this interest, so I thought it might be interesting.
Well, you know, I use an RCA 77D right now. And
I know it sounds fantastic.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. I could never be objective about it. I'd never want to hear it sound anything but, so therefore I can't be objective. But I send it to one place. Did you ever send any of your things to Enak, E-N-A-K, in Pittman, New Jersey? Find him? Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. He passed away last year.
Yeah, but he has a way too good looking apprentice who's still there.
Yes, he does. He's now calling his business something else. It's Pittman, I think, is the name of it.
Really?
But
really?
Yeah.
And you're right. It was not a bargain shop.
No, it was not a bargain shop.
Did I tell you how he went into that business? Did I tell you this?
No.
How Mr. Enak went into... Okay. I got 30 seconds to tell you this. Here you go. Otherwise, the baker will get upset. Yeah, we don't want him upset because we eat things from him. In Pittman, New Jersey, was the location of the RCA factory that manufactured the RCA 77s and 44s. The factory was there. And fairly abruptly, RCA announced they weren't going to make anything there. They were going to shut that factory, like, with a week's notice. And what Mr. Enak did is he went through the dumpsters. And he got every single thing, all the screens, all of the chrome, all of the wiring, everything he could get out of those dumpsters. And that gave him the inventory he needed to repair those microphones for the next 30 years. Is that a great story?
fantastic. It's a great story.
Mateus, you're a good friend of the show. Thank you very much. How do we get in touch with you? What's your Facebook page?
Mateus Bombals Hollywood, MATIASBOMBAL, Hollywood. That's Mateus, MATIAS, Bombal, BOMBAL, Hollywood.
Sterling, thank you, sir. Sterling on Sunday. Sterling every night.
Okay, having a crush on your friend is literally so fun.
It can be until you realize you guys are never, ever, ever going to be together because you had a chance with that friend many years ago, but now they're off in a whole other relationship. They have pets together, a hamster or two, and you're just all alone. You're eating peanut butter in bed at 4 a.m., can't even touch yourself because you're so bad. You're crying so hard you crack a rib. You're wearing your clothes to sleep. What? You're wearing your clothes in the shower is what I was trying to say. It doesn't really matter. I haven't showered in days, actually, so I don't really know what's going on. I miss her. Kate?
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Punching a cop, then grabbing his package. Bad idea. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of one NYPD member whose cousin asked him to dispose of a carpet that contained a body. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Blue vested heroes are not babysitters. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling every damn night, inspired by flashers.
Women need to flash their men as much as possible. Coming out of the bathroom, flash them. Walking through the living room, flash them. Pulling out of the driveway, flash them. Mowing the lawn, flash them. Just flash them.
No. Keep it to yourselves, no problem. There's Selena and Steven of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, and you have hit me with a sucker punch. You're going to offer a recipe for Midnight Misfits for peanut butter pie. Tell me about this, Steven.
Hey, Walter, good evening. Yes, I've been up all night making peanut butter pie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's good. You like peanut butter?
I'm one of those guys who has peanut butter spoons. I leave peanut butter spoons all around the house, as do most Midnight Misfits, but I admit it. Now, this is a peanut butter pie. What are some of the headline ingredients in the peanut butter pie, Stephen?
What makes this peanut butter pie amazing is it's very simple. I say to use Philly cream cheese, which is the best.
Yes.
And use a simple peanut butter. Don't get anything fancy. Don't, you know, go out of your way, get anything fancy. Just get Jif. Jif creamy peanut butter.
Right.
It's simple. It's easy. Don't get the chunky and don't get any kind of gourmet kind. Just get Jif. And if you choose to make it with a Oreo crust, which I recommend because chocolate peanut butter go together amazing, get some Oreos to make the pie crust from hand, or they're usually available in the supermarket ready to go, so it can speed up the process. But use that leftover, well, you know, if anybody's shopping for Halloween candy right now, and they're like me, they like peanut butter this time of year because they're just being bombarded with Reese's ads, the peanut butter cups, rip open that bag before giving it to trick-or-treaters, and chop up some Reese's peanut butter cups and add that into the pie and also on the top. It'll just give
all
it
right,
an amazing...
All right. You're not going to do it now. We're going to get the recipe from him. Here's how you get the recipe from Steven. You ready? Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Ask me for the peanut butter pie recipe. And the best thing about his recipe is he's a coach. He says, if this doesn't work, try this. There's a picture of him and Selena, his girlfriend, very attractive people, and a picture of the completed product, just like putting together a toy. It's spectacular. Selena, is there any problems I need to know about?
I don't think so, Walter. I mean, my favorite part about this recipe is if you're going to, you know, take candy, you know, if you're a parent, you want to take it from your kids, you could teach them about taxes early, and maybe they'll learn to hate the bridge tolls as much as we do. I'm also a peanut butter spoon person. That's definitely one of the main things that makes me a midnight misfit. That was my number one snack in high school, was a spoonful of peanut butter, and I used to dip it in chocolate chips, too. But this is definitely much better.
This is much
frozen,
better.
Actually. I would eat it frozen.
Much better spoken like a midnight misfit, like a Jersey girl. There's Selena and Steven of JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. If you want the recipe for the peanut butter pie, you send me a note, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and I'd be delighted to send it to you. This one is worth the trouble. These recipes are simple and fun. Sterling on Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Coming up in just seconds, something you drank today could make you sick. First, Dr. Dave Weather.
More news, day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night.
Live on a Sunday night, Sterling on Sunday, you have seen the movie A Christmas Story. The story about Ralphie getting his tongue stuck on a frozen telephone pole and the family ending up in a Chinese restaurant on Christmas night. You've seen that movie. What you may not know is that it was narrated by the man who wrote it. And it was narrated by one of the greatest broadcasters and written by one of the greatest broadcasters who ever lived. He's in the National Radio Hall of Fame, but he did his last radio show 47 years ago, which is a tragedy in itself. But he did it, and this is important, on the number one radio station in North America at the time. He did it on WOR out of New York, and it was syndicated to a number of stations, including Philadelphia. Now, what he did, I'm going to tell you what he did, and then I'm going to share a little bit of what he did. And then I'm going to share an expert about what he did. He did something you haven't heard, because if somebody tried to do it today, wouldn't go well. 5 nights a week, sometimes 6 nights a week, all year, on the number one radio station in North America, he did a subversive, anti-establishment, challenge your parents monologue for 45 minutes a night. He did a 45-minute monologue every night. No guests, no phone calls. A 45-minute monologue. I got to see him do it. And he did it without a script. He did it without a script. Here's a sample. It goes to what we can't do. Now, one of the things we can't do right now is actually start it. Let's see. We'll try it again because it's worth it. You want to hear this. Hey, Alex, you have a file that says Shepherd. You see that file? Alex, quick. It's a big radio show. It's a network radio show, Alex.
Did you hear what happened in Philadelphia the other day? Talking about scoff laws, the catching guys. Listen to this.
You got it, Alex? Did you find it? Okay, so I don't need a we, I just need one of you to start it. So this is Gene Shepherd.
Talk about a fantastic, bad coincidence. This is a real terrible thing. A scoff law. Philadelphia's. Well, anyway, here, listen. President John Patrick Walsh. Now, President John Patrick Walsh is the head of the traffic court. He's the judge. He's the head of the traffic in New York, in Philadelphia. He's the top man in traffic court, right? President Judge John Patrick Walsh said he was waiting to run his car through the car wash at Broad Street and Godfrey Avenue. He's sitting there in line. You know, you've gone to these car washes, okay? You've gone to these car washes, and the judge is sitting there in his car waiting, see? And, you know, there's a long line of cars. When he noticed the driver in front of him leave his car and toss a whole batch of, looked like waste material, into a trash can right there next to the car wash. You know, when a guy gets his car wash, he generally brushes it out, you know, and throws away the old paper cups on the floor. You do this, you know. And so the guy threw away what looked like a lot of waste paper. And quote, "My God, that looks like a batch of traffic tickets," Walsh said to himself. Sure enough, when the material was recovered from the receptacle, there were 37 tickets, including 34 for parking in the city, 2 for failing to have the car inspected, and 1 issued by the town of Jenkintown. And to quote the judge, "Well, 1 was even issued Monday night for having the vehicle inspected," the judge said. And by the time they recovered this, this guy had driven away. All he had was 37 tickets piled up in the wastebasket. So Walsh goes back to the office and has him check with Harrisburg, which is the state capital. That's like our Albany, you know. He checks with Harrisburg, and they came up with a name. Judge Waltz said that the guy was driving a VW when he saw him in the traffic line. And he said, sure enough, the Volkswagen was registered in Harrisburg, and it was, you know, the guy's name. However, the resident said that he was not at the car wash Wednesday, does not own a Volkswagen, and has his car in storage. He said he didn't remember his registration number. And this is the greatest, grooviest judge. Listen to this judge. I'd like to meet this judge. Listen to what he says. Who the hell does he think he's kidding?
And there's Quentin Schultz. Is it Schultz or Schulte?
Yeah, Schultz. I don't pronounce the E. Boy, it's great to hear Gene. I tell you, it's great to be on with you, Walter. You're a radio legend in your own right, man.
Mind. My own mind, buddy. Quentin, this is quite a book you've written. You wrote it. You actually sat down and wrote a book about the life lessons from the great movie A Christmas Story. And in it, you were managed to integrate the wit, wisdom, and genius of Gene Shepard. And Gene Shepard's genius was so unique that it was suited specifically for radio. His true genius was on the radio, which troubled him. Didn't it, Quentin? It troubled him that his genius was centered on radio and not the big screen.
Oh, yeah. He felt inferior about that. But on the other hand, he learned how to tell stories through radio. And then stage performances he was doing at the Limelight and other places in New York City. And I started listening to him and reading some of his material back in the late 60s and early 70s. And then when I became a communication professor, get that, with a PhD piled higher and deeper, I wanted to find somebody that was really a fantastic storyteller who could teach me how to tell stories. And also one who could tell the same story across multiple media, do it on radio, television, feature film, could write it. He wrote for Playboy magazine. He wrote short stories. He wrote novels that he called. He did stage performances. The guy was unbelievable, probably one of the 3 best storytellers in the 20th century in America. And so I reached out to him. We had a common hobby, ham radio. And I think that intrigued him. Also, that a professor was contacting him. He said, "What do you want to do?" I said, "Well, let's get together and you help me learn how you do what you do, because I want to be able to teach my students how to do it." And I couldn't believe it. He said, "Yes." So we started getting together and teaching together how to tell a story. And I learned that all of his stories were parables. And so that movie, A Christmas Story, which is now probably the most popular movie in America, seen by 50 million adults in the U.S. every year just on cable TV, and last year Warner Brothers sold 9 million DVDs of it. Hardly anybody that I meet hasn't heard of it or can't recall some of the episodes in it, the Red Rider, BB Gun, the How Do the Piggies Eat, you know, getting the tongue stuck to the flagpole, all this stuff, especially the leg lamp. Everybody knows about it. But very few people know that what Gene Shepard did, here's the secret, gang, he told parables. Every story, including the one you just played, he would have an underlying theme as to what it says about human nature, about humankind. He was a walking, talking, and he talked a lot, philosopher of life, who put his philosophy of life into stories about everyday life, parables. And so what I decided finally to do, I thought the movie would die at some point, but it keeps getting more and more popular. So I took all of the notes from the class and things that he taught and we taught together. I put it together in a book called You'll Shoot Your Eye Out, Life Lessons from the Movie A Christmas Story, because that's actually the most searched term on the internet for the movie A Christmas Story. You'll Shoot Your Eye Out. And I took 20 of the 24 life lessons that Shepard used repeatedly in his stories and just with short chapters talked about how each of those plays out with his genius in the movie. And it's absolutely a gas. I wish I had written the book before. I'm so delighted with it.
No, don't ever think that. Quentin, we always do what we're supposed to do at exactly the right time. And coming up in just seconds, I want you to share one of the life lessons, one of the life lessons from A Christmas Story. It's an honor to have you on this show. And you, Quentin, and I will talk more in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Punching a cop, then grabbing his package. Bad idea. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night. Blue vested heroes are not babysitters. Details later. People of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of one NYPD member whose cousin asked him to dispose of a carpet that contained a body. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ben from Lost.
When did you start sleeping with a bottle of scotch by the bed?
When the nightmares started.
All right, good evening, good evening. We're live coast to coast. Good evening, I'm Walter M. Sterling with Quentin Schult, who wrote a mandatory book for anybody in media and anybody who actually wants to know how to tell a story. Quentin sat at Gene Shepard's knee, the greatest storyteller of my lifetime, a man who from 1957 to 1977, for 1 hour a night on the number one radio station in North America, told a subversive, anti-establishment story without a phone call and without a guest. It was, and without a script. So, Quentin, how did he tell his stories? What was the, tell me one thing that you learned about his storytelling that blew you away.
Yeah, first let me say that when I talked to Jerry Seinfeld in Malibu, Jerry said that Gene Shepard was by far and away the biggest influence on his comedy, just to give you a sense of this. So Gene Shepard thought always, I want an idea which is a truth about life. It's usually not going to be a popular truth. That makes it subversive. And I am going to tell stories about everyday life that get at that truth, and that truth is universal. And that's the way that he did it. He was always thinking in terms of these universal truths, or parables we could call them. For example, in the book, I have 20 of them. We used 24 when we taught together. Let me just throw one out and absolutely boggle your mind. In fact, that's a phrase from the movie A Christmas Story, boggle your mind. The leg lamp, the famous leg lamp, probably the most famous icon from the movie. You see these leg lamps all over. People buy hundreds of thousands of them annually every year, and people just love them. And so I asked Gene one day, I said, Gene, tell me what the heck is with the leg lamp? He said, Quinn, the leg lamp is the old man's trophy wife. I said, trophy wife? You mean a trophy wife, like an older guy dumps his wife and then he gets remarried to some young hot chick and he parades her all over to show what he's got and other guys don't have? He said, exactly. He said, men are incurably romantic and they're always pursuing women, but they can't just pursue women. So they then redirect their obsessions toward things, toward cars that they have to have, technology they have to have, fishing gear they have to have, whatever it is. He said that's the way men are. He had the opposite of the stereotypes of men versus women. He believed women were inherently practical and problem-solving, and they would bail men out of trouble. Well, when next time you watch this season, the movie A Christmas Story, watch what happens. The old man gets this leg lamp out of the crate that says fragile on, and he says fragile. I won't go into why he says that, but there's meaning to that too. And he pulls this thing out, and he instantly is in love with this thing. Oh, he's so in love. And his wife is looking at this. Mom, she, what are we going to do with this? And he says, I know just the thing to do it. We're going to put it in the front window. And, oh, she wants to talk to him, but he doesn't want to talk to her because he is in love with this trophy wife. In fact, the so-called narrator of the film, which is the voice of Gene Shepard, who wrote the script, says at that point that the old man was going to put it in the window to turn on the neighborhood. And so this battle ensues back and forth between the old man and mom over the leg lamp. And finally, mom realizes she has to put an end to the affair. The old guy is just obsessed with this trophy wife. So she breaks the lamp, and then he buries it in the backyard. And Shepard says he thought maybe he recalled hearing taps being played. And that's the end of that particular episode.
This is
the infatuation, the obsession. So one of the 20 life lessons in my book about A Christmas Story, right from Shepard's mouth, is curtail your obsessions. And if you're a man, you know what those obsessions are. Be careful.
All right, this is Quentin Schulte, who wrote a book about A Christmas Story, the life lessons from the movie A Christmas Story. What's the name of the book, Quentin?
Yes, You'll Shoot Your Eye Out. You'll Shoot Your Eye Out. Life Lessons from the Movie A Christmas Story.
Now, what's great about this book is he told the key truth, which is that the chapters are short, which means that when you're on an airplane, you're sitting on a beach on vacation, you're taking it easy, you need a quick read, this is the book. It's made for the quick read. You'll enjoy every second of it. Now, I must ask you one fanboy question, Quentin. One question. I know that he went into that studio with a 3-inch by 1-inch piece of paper. And on one side was one note, and on one side was a different note. What did he write on that piece of paper?
Well, what he did was to collect stuff all week long. Newspaper clippings, magazine clippings. He would make notes. He was a phenomenal note taker of things that he would hear on the radio or see on TV. So it just took incredible numbers of notes, and then he would go through them, and he would say, okay, now what's the main point here, and what is this story that that main point happened in, and then he would put this in his memory. He had a phenomenal memory. In fact, if you sat down with him, you couldn't shut him up. He would tell one story after another.
Notorious for not being able to shut him up. Now, I will tell you something you didn't know, and I'm going to thank you right now for being on Sterling on Sunday. Here's something you didn't know, Quentin. I asked 3 general managers of WOR. I said 3 of them. I said his ratings weren't better than the station. He had 1 advertiser. He was subversive and insubordinate. Why did you keep him? Not better ratings, no real money. Why did you keep him? 3 general managers of WOR said the same thing that you would never hear a general manager say today. They all looked at me and went, oh, Walter, we knew it was great radio. And
everybody knew.
Everybody knew, but it wouldn't be enough today. Quentin Schulte, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I will post all sorts of stuff on our Facebook page about your book, which is You'll Shoot Your Eye Out, the story, the life lessons from a movie, A Christmas Story. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is a giant radio show coming up. I'm going to tell you exactly what you ate today. No, what you drank today that could make you sick. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Steve Harvey.
Okay, you want truth? This is why men lie. Because we are afraid of your reaction to the truth.
news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night.
Beautiful grandchild, Keith Mortensen and his beautiful grandchild, having exactly what a grandfather and a grandkid should be doing. They spent Sunday together, they did Halloween things, and Keith earned it. I've known Keith for 10 years, and he was a UPS 18-wheeler. Drove the entire Northeast, knew the Northeast well. He was like a Buc-ee's, Waffle House kind of guy. And then a suburb of Philadelphia is where he lived. He has built a house from scratch in Florida, and he's earned his retirement. And isn't that the best thing about life? When you get to earn the retirement, and you don't have to worry about it because you plan, you did grown-up things, you did adulting from the age of 20. Good for you, Keith Mortensen, my midnight misfit, my hero. Now, about what you drank today that could make you sick. If you're diabetic, Coca-Cola has recalled one of its most popular zero-sugar drinks, finding that it does, in fact, have sugar. The company recalled 13,152 cases of what? Minute Maid zero-sugar lemonade. Due to mislabeling, discovering that regular lemonade containing sugar was incorrectly packaged in cartons labeled as zero sugar. This poses a health risk for individuals with certain health conditions like what? What? Diabetes. Well, how much sugar does it have? This is the frozen cans, not the plastic bottles that you probably buy. This is the frozen cans. In a 12-ounce can, the zero-sugar lemonade had 40 grams of sugar. Now, when you and I look at the sugar content on any product, when you're looking beyond, like, 8 grams, you're like, well, I don't know if I can risk this. These have 40 grams of sugar. Mislabeled, zero. On the outside, on the plastic wrap of the cans, but the cans themselves are labeled correctly. But who looks? Once I buy something on the outside, I look at the outside label. I don't look at the inner wrapping. Do you? No, of course not. There it is. They have recalled 13,000 cans of mislabeled Minute Maid sugar lemonade. Oh, my God. 40 grams of sugar in those cans. 40 grams of sugar in those cans. Now, my sugar, because you know I'm a type 2 diabetic, my sugar's been wacky lately. Like, I'll go to bed, not eat anything, take the medicine I'm supposed to take, and then in the morning, I'm looking at it thinking it should be below 90, below 100, right? And, I just did it now. Now, I haven't eaten anything bad in hours. I ate, it was pumpkin season. I ate a slice of pumpkin pie. I know that's bad. Sure enough, look at that, son of a gun. My glucose is 341. I just took it now. 341. I have been in Target zero times today. Ay. It got up as high as 350, but yesterday it was 80. I made a pumpkin pie. Now, what I should have done is use Splenda instead of sugar, but really that doesn't always help. Does it, my friends? But let me give you a tip. If you're going to make pumpkin pie, I love pumpkin pie. I made pumpkin pie today. Two things. Stop with the nonsense. Get the Betty Crocker cookbook that your mother or grandmother left you. Use that for your pumpkin pie. Use that for everything. You don't need any other cookbook besides the Betty Crocker cookbook and custom recipes from JB Bakery for desserts. Best desserts you're ever going to have, JB Bakery. You get them from me. I'm your dealer. I'm your dealer for dessert. email waltermsterling@gmail.com. I'll send you the best peanut butter pie recipe you've ever had. I just got it from Stephen the Baker. I made the Betty Crocker pumpkin pie. I did something I never do. I followed the recipe. And then I noticed that it did not say added vanilla extract. And it didn't say shave a vanilla stick or no vanilla. And I believe that vanilla improves everything. When I make French toast, I add vanilla. Pancakes, I add vanilla. Anything that I can add vanilla to, I do. I tell my children it's a secret ingredient. Here's Daddy's secret ingredient. See if you can guess it. Is it vanilla? Is it vanilla? Yeah, it's always vanilla. Or cinnamon. I added vanilla to the Betty Crocker recipe. I swear it makes it better. I know you agree. Let's talk. Have you faced certain horrors about Halloween? First of all, if you're an adult, if you're over, say, 20, you shouldn't be trick-or-treating. You look like a creep. It's tacky. You look like the guy who's about to get drunk. Any grown-up in a Halloween costume looks like the guy who's about to have one too many. You're not drunk yet, but you're about to be. I don't want to hang around you. I have no interest in you. I find you very disturbing. I find you very disturbing, really. No, really.
You see how I take a picture?
Come on, you can do it. Come on, come on. Oh, my stream-driven laptop. Oh, my God. How can I do a radio show like this? I can't. It's too painful.
You see how I take a picture to send my mom to let her know I'm okay on vacation? Very cutesy, very demure. I do a nice fresh wig. I do a refresh on my toner. I do a nice fresh face of makeup. I don't wear too much, just a little mascara and a little chapstick. I wear something very subtle, very high cut. I don't show a lot. I do a nice warm lighting in the back and nice cool lighting in the front. I'm very demure and very cute with it. Very cognizant and mindful of what I see.
Unbelievable. How does this happen? All right, my friend, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
Walmart has so many wonderful things. They have tremendous produce. They have diapers, anything you could ever think of. And that's because Walmart is the biggest corporation in the world. Muncie, Indiana, 25-year-old woman named Sabrina Ashley Rose Godby was in a little pain, and she needed a narcotic analgesic. Yeah, there's such a thing. And her youngster, widely believed to be toddler age, was just left in Walmart to run amok. A feral child in the Walmart. As Sabrina went into the restroom to do her narcotics, Walmart noticed this child with nowhere to go. Brave hero in a blue vest, or heroine. I guess gender neutral. Hero's good. We're in a place where being gender neutral apparently is well thought of. Can't say man or woman anymore. It's kind of creepy, but you know, here we are. Collected the child and then called the cops. Because this ain't the first time a child has been neglected or even left at a Walmart. And police found the zonked out lady, allegedly, her name again, Sabrina Ashley Rose Godby, in custody. Child with Child Protective Services, probably a good place for the child. This woman, according to the police, was on the nod. You know when you're at the doctor and they run that light in front of your eyes, or perhaps you've been arrested and they do that, trying to determine whether you're sober or not, or your eyes are working properly. Apparently this woman, her eyes weren't working properly. She's in jail. She's locked up. Kid, hopefully, in a better place. God bless her and hope she can get off the dope. Again, another win for the leadership that you get at Walmart with those amazing associates. Associates, we salute thee. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Punching a cop, then grabbing his package. Bad idea. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari.
And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of one NYPD member whose cousin asked him to dispose of a carpet that contained a body. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688. WALT.
Sterling Every Damn Night, inspired by women's studies.
You're cranky because you need to get laid.
Yeah, there you go. 1151, 1151 on the East Coast, 851 on the West Coast. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's a live radio show. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that stunning?
There's a huge new update for all girlfriends next week. This has major implications for anyone who has a girlfriend. We are now able to confirm the existence of a long-suspected force.
It hates me. It just hates me. It just hates me. But it's my own darn fault.
Only present in girlfriends called dark hunger. Dark hunger causes strong negative feelings that are distinctly different from hanger. Basically, it just feels like the end. That's it. It's all over. She's hungry and she's not going to make it. Like hunger, it is a measurable force, perhaps on something like a 1 to 10 scale. A regular 7 hunger rating, for example, is just like, yeah, I could.
Yeah, see? It's just going to stop and start on its own. That's how you know it's not a tape cartridge machine. By the way, about the Rock Hall of Fame, about the inductees into the Rock Hall of Fame, I had a very tiny amount to do with that. I screamed for years on this show that why the hell isn't Dionne Warwick in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because remember the show, remember the video, We Are the World? Remember the performance of We Are the World? Do you realize that that was her idea? She was the lead singer, and every single person in that video, every single rock star in that video, was already in the Rock Hall of Fame over the following year or two or three. They all got in the Rock Hall of Fame, not her. She had hits from the 50s. To the 80s, number one hits from the 50s to the 80s, played where? Where? On rock and roll stations. The problem was that the judging panel was made up of old angry guys. Old angry guys there were two sides of the gym when these guys were growing up. There was a side of the gym with the kids who got drunk, and the side of the gym of the kids who did drugs. They were on the side with the kids who did drugs. And they loved all the drug bands. They loved all the druggy appealing bands. But the Dionne Warwicks and, oh my gosh, the Association, hit after hit after hit after hit in the 60s, they'll never be in the Rock Hall of Fame. And, well, it's not rock. Yeah, it's rock. It was played next to the Stones and the Beatles on the big top 40 stations of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I played them on radio stations that were labeled rock. And how the hell you wouldn't put Dionne Warwick in decades ago? In the second or third class, why wouldn't Dionne Warwick? Bert Bacharach wrote songs for her. And about Cher, good, great. There would have been no, many, many people will get annoyed. There would have been no Cher without Sonny. It was Sonny and Cher. And it was Sonny and Cher number one hits over and over again until they got a divorce. And when they got a divorce, then it was Cher. And Sonny owned a restaurant in L.A., which I went to. And there he was over in the corner eating with his buddies. Tragically, it was 1:30 in the afternoon, and it was empty. It's not a good look for a restaurant, 1:30 in the afternoon. But it should have been Sonny and Cher. They should have gone in together. And I'm glad Dionne Warwick got in, but oh my gosh, this should have gone in a long time ago. Let's see. You and I can talk at 888-688-WALT. I will send you the much-desired peanut butter pie recipe from JB Bakery. You send me an email. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. And I have a spectacular website.
We have an interesting new development to report from next week. They found out how to ability.
That's not going to happen. Oh, my God. It's not going to happen. Now I have gas, massive gas. None of that's good. What am I looking for? Oh, yeah, this. So, yeah, it's WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. And everything about the show that you wonder, listen to that. Now I have the hiccups. Alex, would you play something? Play anything, would you? Quick on his finger. Look at that. Oh, what do I play? Sean, what do I do? Just play anything. Like now. Unbelievable.
Okay Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Coming up in just seconds, all the updates on UFOs. And now, Dr. Dave's weather.
More news, day and night, around the clock, it's your news. Get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every night. Lost in space. Mission control.
SpacedOutRadio.com. SpacedOutRadio on YouTube. You can see dozens and dozens of Dave Scott's official reports on UFO events. Mr. Scott, how is your weekend?
Well, my son's hockey team went 2-0, which is always a good start to the season.
Yes.
And you know what I did today? I actually went shopping art. I went shopping for art. I went shopping for clothes. I went shopping. And let me tell you, I hate malls. I just hate malls.
Did you go to Target?
No, I went looking for shoes. See, Walt, old Davey got a little chubby over last winter, and nothing was really fitting well.
Oh.
So it was just that time. I'm depressed about it, but, you know, throw out the old clothes, bring in the new, make it in for the closet. You know how it goes.
I will tell you why you shouldn't be depressed. Would you like to know?
Why is that?
It means you had food and you have money to buy new clothes.
That is very true. That is very true.
There you go, my friend. Now, from up above, do you have news from up above?
We actually have a couple stories for the Midnight Misfits here. We're going to start off with Elon Musk. Elon Musk was holding a rally for and an open forum for his followers and people asking his political questions. And everything came up from the economy to SpaceX to abortion. And then UFOs came up. A gentleman stood up and said, hey, I am somebody who is working on new space technology to try to get back to the moon and everything like that. He goes, but I'm very curious, Elon, what is your thoughts on unidentified aerial phenomena, otherwise known as UAP? And let me tell you, watching Elon Musk talk about this, he seemed very uncomfortable with the question. He stated that he has not seen any evidence that UFOs exist. He has heard the stories. He, however, through SpaceX and through his non-disclosure agreements, he has not heard of anything to do with aliens on Earth or UFOs in the sky. In fact, he went as far, Walt, as to say that he has over 6,000 satellites up in space, and not one of them has had to be moved because a UFO was flying in.
Well, now, that's because the UFOs were thoughtful and avoided his satellites.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would totally agree with that. But here's the other thing. If I've had the opportunity to ask that question, I would say to Mr. Musk, I would say, Elon, you worked very closely with Peter Thiel, who is the owner of a defense company called Palantir. Both you and Mr. Thiel built PayPal together. Thiel is now funding UFO projects, especially one called Enigma Labs. And you and him are still very close. What do you know about UFOs through your connections with your friend Peter Thiel? That's what I would have asked if I had the opportunity. And I would love to see how he dodged that, because the way he dodged this question, of course he, you know, had to get a laugh out of it. And after he was done, you know, I felt sorry for the person who asked the question in true sincerity, okay? But, of course, Elon had to make sure that everybody laughed to kind of play down the question as being some sort of joke. When it comes to space, Walt, the one thing that we do know is that this is not a joke. This is not something that should be taken very lightly, because we are having these communications. The military and former military members are talking about this. Congress people, senators are talking about this. There's going to be new hearings. The biggest name in space exploration right now should know. However, from what I've been told, is he's been told to shut up about the subject.
I believe he was shown the files, shown the evidence, in exchange for all of the work he's done with NASA, funding the rockets, funding the recovery, in exchange for exactly what you just said. Oh, by the way, you tell no one.
Then that's exactly it. Look, whether you believe in UFOs or not, and I'm speaking to your audience here because I know, Walter, you believe in them. Whether you believe in this or not, there is a strange phenomena that is happening that is being investigated. And it's time to take the stigma out of this topic about little green men, little aliens, flying saucers, tinfoil hats, and all that kind of garbage. And it's time to actually open up, because some of the most powerful people in the world, like Musk, are in the know. They have to be in the know when it comes to the space race. NASA is in the know. Bill Nelson, the head of NASA, plays this topic as if the public are a bunch of fools. Okay, but he has to, because even though I don't agree with it, his budget is in line with that. There are secrets that are not allowed to be told. And you got to realize the implications of finding out that we are not alone on this planet, that there are some sort of maybe ancestors or future ancestors or time travelers or people coming or aliens coming from different planets, however they can get here. This is going to lead to some major, major changes on Earth. It affects absolutely everything, from the way people think, the way people talk, the economy, fuel prices. Who's going to go absolutely crazy and say, well, this is revelation, it's time to start taking out my hit list? Okay, it's going to affect religion, because for years and decades and centuries and millennia, we've been told that this subject is dangerous. It is the start of Armageddon. It's right out of Revelations. It's going to affect everything. We need to start taking it seriously.
Dave Scott runs Spaced Out Radio. It's a terrific network show based in Canada, but he also has a stunning YouTube channel, Spaced Out Radio. And he can be reached by email at, what's your email address, sir?
Dave@spacedoutradio.com.
This is Sterling on Sunday.
Early Sunday morning outside of a Lubbock strip club, a feller named Landon Rangel Segovia, he's 20, and a little too young to be drinking, even in Texas, barely got liquored up and was throwing a disturbance in that strip club. They tossed him out, called the cops. The brave deputies of Lubbock arrived to address the young man and address the concerns of a jiggle joint wanting order in their midst. Rangel Segovia punched a cop. Then he grabbed onto his package with a vice-like grip. He wasn't letting go. Deputy apparently unhappy and did a lot of screaming. Vice grips on a man's package is never a good thing. Just isn't. Unless somebody has a fetish for those sorts of things. But that's not me. Strip club, safe from this menace against society named Landon. Couple of notes we repeat often and early right here on Sterling Every Damn Night. Nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing. Except the show. You know, besides that, nothing good happens after midnight. Marisol, Angelica, and the other dancers of this fine institution were thrilled that young Landon was removed. Keeping our stripper safe is kind of what we do. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of one NYPD member whose cousin asked him to dispose of a carpet that contained a body. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
You're a real crumb bum.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. It's a network radio show, and I'm live. Nothing else is live. This is it on KMOX. Oh, and I got a great note. The first request was from KMBZ in Kansas City for the peanut butter pie recipe. First request. And I've already answered every request. The commercial breaks are so long. There's so many commercials that not only could I write all the requests back and thank everybody for asking for them and send the peanut butter pie request, but I also could write a novel during those time periods. A novel. That's what I could do. But I want to talk to you about Halloween. And the fact is that I am very sure. Where is that water? Here it is. Mm-hmm. I am very sure that nobody over the age of 19 should go out trick-or-treating. You look like a jerk. You look like the guy who's about to get drunk. You've got one drink to go until you get drunk. I don't want to hang out with anybody who does that. If you want to wear all black and stay on the sidewalk while your 12-year-old runs up to the door and gets their candy, great. But ultimately, Halloween candy is a disappointment because you're going to be left with all your kids' bags and they're going to be there at home while they're in school. And your job is to avoid those bags, not get anywhere near those bags, right? You can't touch them because if you touch one thing, your child will know, especially what? If it's Reese's peanut butter cups, anything made by Reese's, if you touch that, they will know. They'll actually get an alarm, an alert in their ear while at school, like Carmela got during the debates. Those earrings, earrings that give off signals, your kids will get that while you're in school. They're in school if you eat a Reese's peanut butter cup or the pack of M&Ms or anything by Hershey's, any of the various iterations. Look at that, SAT word, iterations of Hershey's. Any of those, you're dead. However, they won't notice Dots. Dots candy still exists. They won't notice if you eat that. That'll be between you and the universe. They could care less. Licorice, they don't really care. And those Baby Janes, Mary Janes candies that are like taffy and peanuts that will take out every cavity in your mouth, every filling in your mouth. Every filling in your mouth will go. Did you see today in the news, actual news on Sterling on Sunday with Walter M. Sterling? Did you see in the actual news today that Minute Maid canned, frozen canned lemonade with the wrapper that says zero sugar is in fact inside the cans inside those wrappers? 40 grams of sugar. They have recalled 13,000 cans of miswrapped Minute Maid lemonade. The kind you don't get. I know what you do. You get the kind in the plastic container, like the gallon or half gallon in a plastic container. I know that's what you get. Your mother got the cans. For some reason, the Minute Maid orange juice and the Minute Maid lemonade, my mother got in the cans. Your mother got in the cans. She didn't seem to mind dumping it into the Waring blender and spinning it, you know, the 14-speed Waring blender. She viewed that as an incidental event. You or I would view that as cooking. That would actually be a chef's act to put something in the Waring blender rather than just opening a plastic bottle. But I'm telling you, I made a pumpkin pie today that was really good. And I used the Betty Crocker cookbook recipe. And I believe that all the recipes that we use from now on should just be from the Betty Crocker cookbook that you got from your mom or your grandmother or your dad. We should just use those. Those were the right answer. For 60 years, cookbook after cookbook after cookbook has come out trying to improve upon those with Hungarian accents, French accents, Italian accents. But the simple fact is that you and I were raised on the Betty Crocker cookbook, and that is the tuning fork of our palate. And when we make something out of the Betty Crocker cookbook, we can enhance it. You know what we can do? More butter. Vanilla flavoring. Not real vanilla. ShopRite vanilla. Kroger vanilla. Great brands vanilla. Yes, indeed. And maybe a little ground cinnamon from a container, not off a stick. Who has time for that? That's it. That's all you have to do. I was going through a Betty Crocker cookbook today. I'm like, all these recipes are fine. Why would we do any more? Why would we change this in any way, except if we want to amp up our desserts? And we would do that from JB Bakery. That's it. We go through all these iterations for years. How many times in your life have you tried exotic coffees? Vanilla coffee, strawberry coffee, cherry-flavored coffee, chicory-flavored coffee. And ultimately, at the end of it, we settle on Dunkin' Donuts, medium ground, medium roast, normal coffee, right? We have learned that Maxwell House in the giant jar for $5 on the bottom shelf is just fine. We don't need the $12 a pound coffee. We've learned that actually the Maxwell House chock full of nuts tastes better than that $12 coffee. What do I drink? I drink Dunkin' Donuts. That's what I drink. Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And every now and then I'll make the mistake. I'll try something new. I'll try a different taste. It doesn't work. I'm a Betty Crocker guy. I'm a Dunkin' Donuts guy. What about you? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. I'd love to talk to you. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling every damn night. Inspired by bi girls.
All girls are bi. You just need to find out if she is bipolar, bilingual, bisexual, or just a bitch.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Look at that. There is Joe in Arkansas. At 888-688-WALT. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Walt. You were talking about Betty Crocker. I bet she didn't use high fructose corn syrup. And, you know, sugar, you know, they've run sugar down for a while, but in those recipes, it's probably nowhere near as bad for you as high fructose corn syrup, which is a waste product of the corn processing, of which they, you know, they put it corn products in about everything. I'm going to tell you something. My cattle in the feed, it's dumped in there big time. They got fat, so fat it was dangerous on them. And that's what these little fat babies you see are on all these milk replacers, you know. So anyway, you probably already know about it, right?
Joe, how many head do you have?
Oh, I don't have any now. I had 18 to 20 mama cows with the calves, and divorce caused me to get rid of them.
There's a joke I could make, but I won't make that joke about divorce and cows. But my question is, now, sir, do you still own a farm? Are you still a farmer? What do you do now?
No, I moved out in the woods. I'm renting my brother's place, 7 acres out in the woods of north central Arkansas, Fulton County to be exact. And we get you on the KSAR on Sunday night.
I am honored that you listen to me, because where you're located, your radio can pick up the entire country at night. And it's great to have you listening, and I appreciate you listening, but mostly I appreciate you calling. You're a good guy, Joe. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling every damn night. All right, Walter M. Sterling at 888-688-WALT, 888, you think I should try it again? I don't know. Every time I move the mouse, I get the wheel of death. I get the wheel of death, but I really want to hear this again. Can I get it to start? No, I can't get it to start. And there's a good reason I can't get it to start. I did something so stupid. I needed a new laptop. And I looked for it at Walmart. I wanted a refurbished one, a recycled one. It has to be a Mac. I'm a Mac guy. I'm an Apple guy. There's nothing we can do about that. Don't give me nonsense about, well, you know, PCs are just fine. No, they're not. They're a nightmare. But I get it on Walmart Marketplace. Now, that's as terrifying as you think. These are people who have secondhand goods, and they've decided that the best place for them to sell something is on Walmart Marketplace. And I'm like, all right. And there was a Mac laptop that was priced in a very friendly way. What I didn't realize is that a Mac laptop should not be that friendly. It should not be that friendly. And every time I go to push one of the buttons on my MP3 bar, I get the wheel of death, the rainbow wheel of death. Cannot be good for the show. Can't be a big plus. All right, you and I are together on a Sunday night, and we're approaching the horror of Halloween. And I know about you, and I know this, that about 18 months ago, every few minutes, you thought about the Roman Empire. An American man, every American man, about 18 months ago, every day, would think about the Roman Empire. the Colosseum, the chariot races, wearing beefy costumes? How did they do transactions? How did they do trade? It was a very complicated city. The Roman Empire was a very complicated civilization. They had it down. They had aqueducts.
There's a huge new update for all girlfriends next week. This has major implications for anyone who has a girlfriend.
To Northern
England, now able
that are still there. Yet our roads need to be rebuilt every 6 months. The Pennsylvania Turnpike, I-80, I-90, I-4 in Florida. I-4 in Florida is under construction at all times. I-5 in California, under construction at all times. The technology of concrete is well known. It was perfected by who? The Romans. The Romans had another ingredient in their concrete, which made it so good that they could mold it and pour it underwater, and it's still there. They added volcanic stones, volcanic gravel. Putting that in the mix makes it impervious to water. What about ours? No, ours isn't like that. Ours needs to be re-poured every 6 months. Our friends need to re-pour every 6 months, right? Then, a year ago, you stopped thinking about the Roman Empire every day, and that slot in your brain was taken up by Caitlin Clark. And you and I started thinking about Caitlin Clark every day. 5 seconds, 5 minutes at the most, but we thought about Caitlin Clark every day. And maybe, bonus track, we thought about her buddy Kate Martin. Kate Martin on the Las Vegas Aces. Packed stadiums, Caitlin Clark, packed stadiums. And what do they pay Caitlin Clark this year? $70,000. Oh my gosh, $70,000 for Caitlin Clark, who not only is a star basketball player capable of packing stadiums, but she's also in a high-risk game. She can get hurt. It's an injury-prone profession. But there she is, and we think about her every day. But a month ago, I know what you started thinking about. You started thinking about the 12-foot skeleton at Home Depot. And you started thinking, do I buy the 12-foot skeleton at Home Depot? And then you look around your neighborhood, and what do you see? On every lawn, the rich people dump the 12-foot skeletons. Those are expensive. Or you can buy a four-pack for $120. What'd he say? Yeah, a family four-pack of skeletons for $120. Now, you haven't done it yet, but you're thinking about it. You're thinking, should I spend that money for a 12-foot skeleton that I can use for 2 weeks of the year? I don't know. But these are the things that occupy our brain. I'm going to give you some really good advice. Do not buy the skeleton. Don't buy the skeleton. You can make the skeleton, and that would make you what? What? The cool parent. And best I can tell, you need some help. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I gotta tell a story from one of my books entitled Everyone's Got a Story. And with 40,000 NYPD members, that's the truth. Whenever I would go into a precinct with another cop or something, they would point someone out to me that they worked with or knew or went through the academy with and go, oh, wait till I tell you the story about that guy or wait till I tell you about her. So later in my career, I was with my sergeant. We were in a Manhattan precinct and there was a sergeant behind the desk and my sergeant looked at him and that sergeant and they just nodded and they didn't say anything. And I could feel there was some kind of tension or they knew each other, but they weren't talking. So later, I approached my sergeant, and I go, what's the story with that guy? And he goes, oh, you don't want to know. Now I want to know. And like a child, the rest of the day, come on, tell me. He goes, all right, I'll tell you a story. He goes, and you're not going to believe it. About 10 years earlier, that sergeant got a phone call from his cousin. And his cousin said, hey, listen, I'm cleaning out my apartment. Could you come over and give me a hand, like getting rid of some stuff? So the sergeant wanted to help out his cousin. He drives over to his apartment. When he gets there, he finds a carpet rolled up in his cousin's living room. So he says, what do you want to do with this? He goes, I just want to get rid of it. So they carry the carpet downstairs and they throw it in the sergeant's van. Now, he didn't ask him, let's take it to the dump. Well, let's leave this carpet out front. Give me a hand taking it down the stairs. We'll put it outside for the garbage pickup. He says, let's just get rid of it. So they drive out to Newark, New Jersey, and they're driving around like where they have all those burnt out buildings and stuff. They find a vacant lot and they dump the carpet in this vacant lot. And according to the sergeant, he went home, didn't think anything of it. Well, a couple of days later, on the 6 o'clock news, there's a story about a body being found rolled up in this carpet in this vacant lot. So the sergeant says to himself, hey, that lot looks familiar. And hey, that looks like the carpet my cousin asked me to get rid of. So instead of calling his supervisors at the New York City Police Department, what this sergeant does is he calls the cops out in New Jersey and says, hey, I might have some information about this carpet. Well, the cops from Jersey come out and they grab him and they take him back to New Jersey. And they're looking to charge him with the murder or disposing of a body. Needless to say, he was in big trouble. He got placed on modified assignment. I think he was found guilty of a couple of department charges, but he testified against his cousin, and somehow, some way, he was able to keep his job. So from that point forward, every time I went into the precinct that I saw this guy, I started looking at him a little funny because I'm thinking to myself, how dumb can you be to get rid of a body in a carpet and not think to ask any questions like, why does this thing weigh so much, or why are we taking this carpet out to Newark? So for more interesting behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
Sterling every damn night, inspired by hot girls.
Because I feel like if a guy is nice, that means he gets no girls, and that's like a turn off, you know what I mean?
Sterling every night, study books, lusty books, get cozy with the owl and
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies. Geneva led him to the darkened bedroom. From outside the window, lights from the surrounding city cast the small space in a muted glow, allowing her to navigate through the shadows with ease. Standing beside the bed, she turned around and put her hand up. Wait, stay there. He paused in the doorway. Why? She tugged at the hem of her blouse, but didn't make any effort to remove it. Because half the time, when you undress me, I wind up having to buy new lingerie. Ash laughed, yet his mirth soon faded. I thought it was kind of a running thing between us by this point. But if it bothers you, I can stop. Her hands dropped to her sides and she exhaled. Most of the time, I don't mind, she admitted. If nothing else, I should be glad you still find me so irresistible after so long. His eyes glittered in the wan lighting. Always. Grasping the thin fabric, she pulled her shirt off over her head and let it flutter to the floor. His chest heaved as his intense stare remained trained on her, but he stood in place several feet away. She slid her pants down her legs and kicked them to the side before straightening. Though tempted to test the limits of his patience, she quickly shed her bra and panties and added them to the growing pile, never taking her gaze off his. A muscle in his jaw twitched. Are you done? Yes. As soon as the word left her mouth, he was at her side, one arm encircling her waist, while his other hand fisted in her hair. He slammed her body into his as he assaulted her lips with a rough kiss. While their tongues tangled together, she jerked his shirt out of the top of his shorts, desperate to feel more of him. A devilish chuckle resonated from his throat as he pulled it off, and he gave her hip a playful squeeze. "Don't you think this is a bit of a double standard?" he muttered against her mouth. "Excuse me, I've never destroyed a single article of clothing of yours." She tugged at his waistband until the button popped open, but proceeded no further. "However, if you want me to stop..." "Not at all. I was merely pointing it out." His shorts dropped to the floor, soon followed by his boxers. With nothing left to impede her access to him, Geneva closed the gap between them again, pressing along the length of him. He swallowed back a groan and returned his hands to her waist. As their lips reconnected, one palm skimmed up her side, rising to caress the outer curve of her chest. Sharp teeth tugged at her lower lip as his fingers sank into her flesh. The varying sensations made her dizzy with desire. Stepping away from him, she attempted to guide him toward the bed, but Ash yanked her back. "Now who's impatient?" he growled near her ear. Before she could respond, he drew her earlobe into his mouth and gave it a nip. One arm kept her locked in place while his free hand resumed massaging her. She made one last half-hearted effort to twist out of his grasp and end his torment, but there was no escape. Helpless, she leaned into him as his tongue traced the outer ridge of her ear and pulsed against her. Abandoning the soft flesh of her chest, he worked his way between them, arriving at the apex of her thighs. She shuddered, silently willing him to go farther. His teeth grazed her delicate skin again. "It's always good to see I can still get the same reactions out of you, too," he said. "Oh, I think that's a good place to stop for tonight, but you know you can always have more." That was an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies, which is available at Amazon on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Stroke.